I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From a land far, far away where success is a long shot and the struggle really is real, comes a voice from the depths of the concrete, the bowels of the BX, a voice that can't be silenced, here to share his positivity. Welcome to the Hope of the Hood podcast.
Yo, we're back. It's your boy, Petey, Hope of the Hood. I'm excited today. We got some dope guests in the studio. Before we start, shout out to my man, True. Shout out to Emily Santiago for showing love on the following episode. Shout out to the Chinese Baptist Church across the street. I saw them on the way up, and I was like, yo, shit. I didn't even know we had Chinese brothers and sisters getting down with us eating saltine crackers for communion. Make sure you come out to Better Days this week on the 28th. 302 Broome Street, Better Days, Better Days Comedy. Should be fucking lit. Last Drink was lit. I had a pretty good week. Last week was a pretty good week. I've been applying new methods of living. I've been shoulder rolling the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? You know, you just shoulder roll the bullshit. Because sometimes I think we try to like, we try to make the bullshit not bullshit, but it's bullshit. And you're like, yo, let me just hold on and see what happens. But now I think anything that sets off the fucking flow that I'm, the direction I'm going in, because before it's like we know this type of shit, but like we don't, it's not, especially like in relationships. Like I'll be in relationships that I know, like, yo, this shit ain't really the move, but let's see, benefit of the doubt, Petey. And then like you get them little tingles, but then it's almost like you don't want to be wrong. Like you don't want your initial feelings towards the relationship or the project or whatever to be wrong, and you're like, oh yeah, this will work because I knew, and I always picked the winner. And you don't want to embrace the fact like, oh man, this shit ain't gonna work, and the quicker I let it go, I can move on faster. So that's what I've been up to this week, and it's been fucking working, man. Like as soon as I let the little bullshit go that I couldn't control, shit started, like the chi was back. You know what I'm saying? The feng shui was back. Yo, the breeze. I feel like the weather got nicer just because I was like, yo, fuck the bullshit. The weather got nicer for your boy, man. This shit is crazy. You don't want to stay in the bullshit. Let it go. This week, we got some dudes. I met one of them at a comedy show. And I met another one through... Shout out to Dan, Young Billy June. And then I found out that they knew each other. And I was like, yo, what kind of cahoots shit is niggas is in cahoots over here, yo? Busting mad moves. Because matter of fact, I feel like I met you briefly in front of Aunt Jenny's in Ridgewood. And Telly was
there.
Telly,
yeah.
Wow, man. That was the first time I even met him. I was like, yo, this dude is wild, yo. Wild. Wild off the handle. Fucks with him. Shout out to him. And I met you briefly, but he's got like the I bust moves aura. It's like you just in and out. Like it's not really too like. Even when I seen you at Billy's party, it was like you was like, yo, I'm already like 10 steps removed from this party right now. I was like, damn, so this nigga's over here. You came to my show, you sitting in the back like, yeah, I'm already at like 3 shows from here, yo. It's all good. than the other homie. You guys introduce yourselves to the world. Introduce yourself to the Hope of the Hood.
My name is Busy. That's my name. I'm Busy.
And what do you do, sir?
I do a lot of different things. So I run, I own a management and consultation company, Busy Management. And I'm also part of this collective called Brooklyn Stick Up. And I'm also one half of America Hates Us, which is a streetwear and apparel company focused on political and socioeconomic initiatives for the disenfranchised. And this is the other half of it.
Speaking to the mic, sir.
Tadek Brown, I'm Busy's oldest friend. I've known him since 3 years old. We grew up in Canarsie together. Like he said, I'm the other half of America Hates Us.
Mm-hmm.
We got together back in 2016, and we decided we could make dope clothing that has political messages. So we put two and two together, my background in law, his background in street fashion, street aesthetics, as he likes to call it, and we formed like Voltron and put it together.
So you was a lawyer, my dude?
I'm still a lawyer.
Yeah. So you a lawyer, sir?
Currently a lawyer, still practicing, still got my license.
That's crazy, bruh.
Yeah.
What kind of law?
Copyright trademark law.
Oh, shit. So I know all your shit is official tissue.
Yeah, but I'm transitioning. Starting later on, well, not starting, later on this year, I'm going to move on to human trafficking, anti-trafficking, and domestic violence law. So that's
the I was about to be like, you human trafficking? You just going to throw that out there like that, son? This shit is wild, bruh. Well, reckless. He had the slow follow up. He said, "Yo, I'm about to just quit that, get into human trafficking."
Yeah. Well, anti-trafficking. I don't want to. We're not trafficking people. We're trying to stop the trafficking.
Okay, that's dope.
Yeah.
But like, how did you? So you guys known each other? You're both from Canarsie.
Yeah.
Canarsie. I met him when I was 3 years old. He was my neighbor.
I met him in Pampers. He had Pampers on at three years old.
That's crazy. I don't know none of. But I know old friends. But I'm not. How did you guys maintain?
We lived next door to each other for like from 3 to like 15 or 16.
No, I know, but you know, sometimes like you could live next door to people. I've lived next door to people, and then they be on some fuck shit, and you grow up, and you're like, yo, I don't think it's not conducive for us to hang out anymore. Like, we should probably, you don't even tell them. You're just like, I ain't fucking with this nigga no more, son. You're crazy. So, like, were you guys kind of always on the same wavelength as far as like what you guys were into?
I wouldn't even say that.
I mean, as kids, yeah, because he's a little bit older than me. Mm. So I was, like, on my block, the youngest one. So naturally, everything that the older kids were doing, I was into. So, like, he played baseball, I played baseball. Mm. He was into collecting cars, I'm collecting cars. He's into DMX, I'm listening to DMX.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we always just been, you know, tight from then. And then, you know, are we trying to fast forward, or you want more details about?
No, I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, I'm trying to find out the origins of where you from. Like, I didn't know you was from Canarsie.
Yeah.
I kind of had a hunch you was Brooklyn dudes.
Yeah.
And then Brooklyn Stick Up, but like, you know, I wasn't sure. So Canarsie is where you from. How was it growing up over there? What was it like? I've never been
there. We just had this conversation. I asked them, you know, you're 30 now. You lived a long life up to this point. What was your favorite part of life? Like, You know, graduating high school, living other places.
High school, because I didn't graduate college.
Okay, no.
He was into school. That was the one thing that he was into that I wasn't into. Mm-hmm. Like, he was into baseball, I was into baseball. He was into school, I was like, fuck that.
He's like, yo, here's where we draw the line.
But he had said specifically the best part of his life was being on the block, playing manhunt, playing baseball, and wild football on the streets. Like, not having to care.
Mm-hmm. But that's type ill, because I have friends that probably, that not probably, they went away to school, a few of them. And I can't say any of them are like, well, my sister's friend, but she's like a relative, so it's a little different than a homie. Like, mm-hmm. I've never had a homie go out and like become a lawyer or do anything that was like, oh shit, it's like, he's actually official. Like, yeah, usually it's like dudes that go to school and they just be like, yo, so I'm over at FedEx now. Yeah. So, you know.
Right. All the successful people on Facebook, like, oh shit, my man got married, or like, he just became manager of, you know, Enterprise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's
nah, I live next door, I'm a lawyer. at your life,
that's
right?
That's big.
I brought him to law school with me.
That's big. Which law school did you go to?
Rutgers in Newark.
Okay.
He sat in on a class with me, and he just played the back, and people were like, he doesn't go here. I'm like, yeah, he's cool. It's fine. He can sit in for the day.
Chameleon status.
He blended, yeah.
All right, so how'd you guys... No, actually, you never answered my question. What was it like growing up in Canarsie, Brooklyn? Like, I've met one dude that went to my school in the Bronx. This nigga used to come all the way from Canarsie, and we used to feel like, yo, this nigga must have killed somebody over there. Why he can't go to school in his own hood? This shit was far every day to Truman High School. This kid, and I think he was on a football team, but it was like we stunk. Like, we was not good at football. So it was like, why would you come all the way to the Bronx? But like, what was it like? What's Canarsie like? I've never been there in my life.
Now we're then.
I mean,
then. Oh, obviously. Yeah. Like growing up, what was it like, you guys?
Back then, it was a weird mix because we lived in like private houses, mm-hmm. but we were like three blocks away from Brookline Projects.
Yeah.
And it was. You know, there was beef with like the private house kids and the Brookline kids, and then you also had like pink houses, which would like have beef and a lot of like,
I know about the pink houses.
Territorial, like, who, you know, they had like PH, mm-hmm. which was pink houses, but then it would be like the other PH, which was private houses. And we honestly, we were like good kids. We were just like active in sports and playing and sneakers and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we still had a very clear like insight into, you know, the more like, you know, menacing
right, side of shit.
But I actually went to school in Flatbush. So I was like living in Canarsie, but mm-hmm. a lot of my friends outside of like the few people that lived in my block are actually from Flatbush, because okay. I went to junior high school not too far from Flatbush, and then I went to high school like on Flatbush. And then I went to college where I would later drop out from. But also
which college you go to?
Brooklyn College.
Okay. So you was local.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I graduated from Midwood, mm-hmm. and then only to go right across the street.
Yeah.
That's probably why I dropped out. He told me, go away. He's like, go away to school. You're going to wish you went away. I was like, yo, but all my hoes
He's
are
like,
here.
Yo, where I'm going to get the beef patties from that I love so, so much, man, yo?
Come on, they got Lord's that. Bakery in Stony Brook.
Connecticut.
Yeah.
The fuck, I'm going to get a beef patty in Stamford.
I went to school in Pennsylvania, and that was like the best, worst thing for me, because... As boring and antisocial it was, it helped me focus, get my shit together as far as concentrating and realizing what kind of goal or what I wanted to attain. And I figured all my people that don't leave home,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to leave home. And I would say the vast majority of my people that didn't go away to school are currently in the same position.
But the thing is, most of my friends that went away to school was in the set. That's what made me not even go to school. I was like, yo, these niggas end up back here. Why do I gotta go over there to be right here? If like I'm not gonna go nowhere, so I think maybe if I saw like more positive, like dudes that went away and came back and was still making moves, mm-hmm. I would have been like, word. But yeah. Then it was like, yo, all y'all dudes came back owing mad money, and you ain't even lit right now, son. You ain't even get the fucking advance or nothing. You just owe a nigga $500,000. Now, maybe not that. Niggas ain't go to Harvard or none of that. But, like, you know, you owe Bronx community like $20.
Even when I was in Brooklyn College, I was seeing people that I went to high school with that, or even junior high school with that, were, like, giving high school their all. Like, taking AP Spanish and like, calculus and Latin, and, like, just going hard and being thirsty. And I'm like, look at you right here, me and fucking this art. This art auditorium in the same college. So I feel like after I saw that, I was like, yo, I'm out of here. I dropped out after 2 years. I was like, I'm going to go start a rap label.
Mm. And did you start a rap label?
Yeah, that's when I started Brooklyn Stick when I was in college. I dropped out. I was actually listening to the artist dance from Brooklyn Stick. I was listening to like an OCD of his in my art like seminar. And he said... one of the lines, he's like, and I'm underdog like the bottom row on the overbite. And I was like, yeah, I'm dropping out. I was like, I'm going to start a rap label with him.
So is this, oh, so you knew, like, what was he just on the, running around?
Yeah, he was rapping with some dudes in the Bronx at the time. So we were just, like, friends. Like, no, I wasn't in music. I was in school. You know what I'm saying? He was, like, starting, but had a head start. You know
so you wasn't even in music. You wasn't trained or nothing. You just was like...
Yeah. In high school, though, I knew me and my man Reem, we both, like, didn't have any talent. Like, tangible talent, like dancing, singing, rapping. Mm-hmm. We were like, yo, we're going to be famous. Like, because these rappers, they need managers, they need video directors. Like, we're going to figure it out, even though we don't got no talent. And we, like, we wrote that in each other's yearbook. And that's then, so then fast forward when I was in college and I was in the art seminar and he said that, I was like, yeah, I'm off this.
What do you mean he said that in the, so was dance in the same school?
No, I was listening to music. Like, I wasn't paying attention to the class.
I had headphones on,
listening to his tape when I should have been, like, you know, learning about medieval architecture. And when I heard that, that line was like, yeah, I'm out of here.
Did you know him at this time?
I knew him, but not, like, just in a friend capacity. I didn't know him. That was, like, my first time, I think, listening to his music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, you're a rapper. Everybody's a rapper. But we were just cool.
Was he with the crew on that track? Was he with the crew? Or was it just him?
He was with another crew from the Bronx at the time. But Brooklyn, like, Stick Up didn't exist.
But on that song, was it just, was he solo or was he with
It was crew? Him and another dude.
From the group that he was in?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what? How did you approach him to make him be like... To make him understand.
I think I was just like, it was just like little things. And this is like where I got a lot of the skills that I applied to, like, all the other shit that I'm currently involved in. Like, even America Hates Us is because since I started from the ground, like, level with no prior education, no training, it allowed me to be, like, skilled in a lot of different disciplines. So when it first started, I was like, yo, my pops got a camera. Like, let's do a photo shoot. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, very basic shit. Had I known how hard this shit was back then, I never even would have started.
Right.
But I was like, yo, my pops got a camera, let's do a photo shoot. Oh, I downloaded Microsoft Movie Maker. Like, I'm gonna make a montage with, like, your song in the background, and we're, you know, dumb. And we're like, yo, the shit is fire. We about
so
to be
So you
lit.
Was basically, you was investing your time and belief into this dude.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
We ain't but you no was bread. Also doing it. You know, for yourself, obviously.
Yeah, because I was just enthusiastic about it and excited. You know what I'm saying?
Where did that come from, though? Like, where did
Because from high school, when I was like, y'all don't have no talent, but I'm going to be famous. So I was like, jackpot, perfect opportunity.
No, I know, but there's a lot of dudes that's like, yo, I ain't got no talent. Let me just rob a nigga real quick. Like, that's the type of niggas that I'm from. I'm from a nigga's like, yo, I can't dance. I'm going to just shoot niggas. Like, fuck it. We going to get it the hallway. So it's like, to even have, like, to me, I didn't start even thinking... You know, I had something that shit fucks me up some days. I'd be like, yo, I went to a potluck the other day. First time I ever been to a potluck in my fucking life. The shit was all white people. Mm. Shout out to my Jewish crew. They was in the building. And I've never been to no potluck before. I've heard of it. I've never knew. So I get there, and it's like mad people that I don't know. But you know, this is domesticated PD, so I could dance with whoever. I'm not one of them niggas you bring around. I'm just sit in the corner or... You know, fucking looking like I'm mad at the world. So I'm there, and they're doing this thing where they're just going around the room asking everybody, you know, what they do and all that shit. So there was the shorty I was with, her cousin's friend from, like, since they were kids, like, you guys were friends. That she's like, yeah, I live in Maine or whatever, and I do iron casting. And I'm like, I don't really know what that means, but it sounds strenuous as fuck, dude. And then she was like, and I also I split lumber or something crazy that.
Like, she got strong calves.
Son, all I could think, though, real quick, was like, I just be trying to sell people. Like, I be talking shit into a microphone. Like, that's like the... You know how little I felt at that? Like, not little, but I felt so like...
That shit that they can't do.
I know, they can't but do it's... Well. Yo, somebody, I'm saying, like, yo... Just the idea, like, this is like what you basically did. It's like in its own sense of...
What, splitting lumber? Or?
No. I'm talking about not splitting lumber or not doing, like, being like, yo, I can make something out of nothing pretty much. So it's almost like a hustle.
Yeah.
Like, how do you become the... I was telling someone the other day, how do you become the best gamble? Like, you ever hear people like, yo, it's because of this that I don't have this, or it's because you got to be this, or you can't be like a straight... Black dude, you're gonna have to work even. And I'll be like, yo, dude, even if that's the case, like, you know, when people be like, yo, they only allow one black guy at a time, like, even if that's the case,
like The Walking Dead,
yeah,
like one black dude, like, oh, they killed this one, they're gonna meet a new black dude tomorrow because that's just how it goes.
But the thing is, like,
my man,
I don't even watch the show,
I don't watch the show.
Walking Dead is like one black man, black woman maximum,
okay.
There's very rarely an overlap. So if one person gets bodied, it's like, yo, they're gonna bump back into the other van because you seen they had a black dude. He's gonna be a new
the new that's character. Where they spawn the black dudes, zombies from. But not so it's like that thing of it's that thing of I don't know what the fuck I was just talking about.
Hustling.
I don't know where I was going with that.
I think you said where we get the will to hustle.
The thing about there's only it can only be one. But it's like, dude, why can't you be the gamble? Why can't you be that one?
Word.
Instead of being like, so like that's like I think what you kind of did, which was these niggas ain't got no talent, son. And I don't have the talent to do that thing, but I got the talent to still be in it.
Right.
Like, I think that's one of the ill things that I feel like isn't promoted a lot. And I've felt like that for a while, like, in the hood, where it's like, people will promote their kids to be, like, the next big athlete from, like, when they're 1, 2, 3 years old, instead of being like, yo, you know, you can just, like, have the best athletes working for you, or you can work with them.
Yep.
As opposed to, you'll never pull a hamstring that way. Like, you may pull a hamstring doing some jiggy shit, like on a fucking yacht. You might slip down the steps because you have the right Sperry's on or some shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, nah, I feel like that was a... I feel like from when I was young, I kind of always thought, like, if it's already, like, super saturated, it's much easier if you, like, do something different. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, everybody's going to go get the J's. The J's are going to be sold out, so I'm going to get these pennies. You know what I'm saying? And I'll style them, like, differently. And all of a sudden, it's like, everybody's wearing J's, I'm wearing pennies. And right. I'm like, got the foams or whatever. That's the best analogy I could come up with. So I feel like, all right, I can't rap. I'm not even going to try to compete with these, you know, these dudes who can rap and start now at, like, 17 years old. Kind of, however old you are in college, 18, 19. To rap, I was like, I could do this. You know what I'm saying? I've always been, like, middleman and wheeling, dealing, like, I was working when I was 13.
I was about to say, where did that come from? Like, was it? But like, even before your first job, was it like now or later? Like,
nah, it was Kicks. I think it was Kicks because like I was the youngest one, right? So like T, he was in high school and he had Fly Kicks. I always make fun of him because like he'll be like, oh yeah, I had those. I'm like, nah, those were your brothers. I remember you brothers. Still have brothers. Them. He's like, still mine. That's still I'm like, right, no, right. You ain't have those. Like, so I think it was
That's the petty hate. Like, yo, those are your brothers.
Yeah, man. I'm like, yo, remember the Royal Blue Foams I had? He's like, yeah, I had them too. I'm like, those were your brothers. I had them.
He's like, I wore them more than twice.
Facts. I think it was Kicks, so because I wanted to keep up. You know what I'm saying? So he was working at a sneaker store.
You should tell him the Nike Town story.
Oh. You was working at a sneaker store? Where you was working at?
Sneaker Palace on Rockaway Parkway.
That shit sound mad hood.
Mr. Chin gave me my first job.
I used to work at a sneaker store in Miami in Liberty City, and that shit made me not like sneakers no more.
Why?
Cause it was like working in like a fucking hot dog pause in a hot dog factory. Like, oh, I don't think I want to eat hot dogs no more. Pause. And like, it was like that's what it felt like. Cause then the way I used to see the way people used to react over sneakers.
Yeah.
Cause I was already an adult. I was like in my late 20s when I was. This was like bottom of the barrel for me. Like I had no. It was like rock bottom. I was in a fucking retail sneaker store in the like worst neighborhood in Miami. Niggas is buying sneakers with guns on them. Niggas is like, yo, you got the shoe is too tight. They might shoot you.
Yeah.
Niggas, you know, working in the spot, niggas come through, yo, I need from size 12 adult men's to 5C, or the whole scale. I need the whole scale. I need 5 youth.
I got a funny story about Nike Town with that.
Son, I remember, because you know Christmas Eve, Christmas Day.
It's crazy.
Just crazy. And like, I remember dudes threatening dudes like, yo, if my sneakers ain't
you don't hold my Space Jam 11s.
Yeah, niggas is ready to shoot people over that shit.
There used to be people that walk in the store and just take shots. I'm like, well, I'm not getting paid to be security, so enjoy that left shoe.
How old was you when you was working?
At 16, I think, right? My junior year, senior year of high school. So I started getting fly. With Kicks.
Oh, in high school?
Yeah.
Oh, you was that dude.
So then he got me a job at 13 or 12 or 13.
At the spot?
So he was clean.
In the same spot. Oh, so I'm in junior high school. I'm getting every Jordan crazy. That comes out because I'm working at the sneaker store.
Was that near your cribs?
Yeah. No. Yeah, walking distance.
Oh, so that means, because I remember there was this one, I forget his name. This is one kid. You got to understand, if you a kid and you work in a fucking sneaker spot,
Maddie, you the man.
Especially not like some Foot Locker. It's like the Chinese, the Asian spot.
Mr. Chin.
And every, I feel like that's how they used to do it. Like, even
because Foot Locker can't hire little kids.
Yeah, it's like, there's no, they like, yo, what? Let me pay you off the books.
$5 off the books. I was getting $5 off the books. And I was getting like, my discount wasn't even set. It was just like, how he felt that day. Like, yo, I need these. Like, just give me 100.
Yo, you don't understand. Like, when your people from your school and your hood come in there and they see you working in there.
You need to connect.
And you know you got the fly shit on while you working in there. Niggas are like, they looking at sneakers that they hope they could get. And they looking at you like, yo, he gets to touch all the sneakers.
And we would get the sneakers.
He gets to touch every size sneaker in the store. He gets to smell them before anybody
early
else.
And we would get them 2 weeks early. So yeah, we was rocking them. People like, they ain't even on sale yet.
Yeah, yeah. I used to hate niggas like that. When I was growing up, some niggas at the time, they would have the outfits to match the sneakers that didn't even come out. And you'd be like, yo, why is your life so good?
Like, I wasn't, for me, I was only just stunned with the kicks. I had to keep it base with the gear. Because I was essentially working for kicks. Like, I would work for the whole week and then just buy kicks. And the clothes I had to like keep.
But how did you know? Like, did you know? Like, all right, this is, I'm gonna go work for the plug.
We had an older friend in the neighborhood, Rafford, and he worked there, and he was it was a pecking order. Like, we was next.
He was the cool older kid.
Yeah, he was the cool older kid. So I was like,
how did he duck goose you and not like?
I would just go there every day. Yo, can I get a job? I'm gonna be reliable. You know, you pitch.
Was he still working there when you started?
Yeah, he was. He was there. He was there for a while. And then after,
yo, he's still there. Shout out to him if he's still there.
So then I transitioned. I went to school and I said, yo, Chin.
Was that his actual name?
That's his name. I'm not
trying to be racist. Yeah,
nah, I can't do that. Come on, I can't do that right here at all. But I put B on. Who else worked there?
Joel worked there.
My boy Joel. I ran through it. A lot of people got to work there.
Nice.
So I feel like that, for me at least, like that. You know, I first started making my own money. I'm gonna buy what I want, like buy whatever kicks I want. So then it was like, it was addicting, but it set a bar, you know what I'm saying, for how the certain lifestyle.
No, but the hustle, Nike Town was.
Yeah.
Oh, tell me about Nike
Town. Oh, Nike Town. So we could talk about this now because enough time has passed, but I'm definitely sure it was illegal. I'm definitely sure it was illegal. So, and I don't think this exists anymore. I'm banned from Nike Town customer service.
So I never got banned. I was good.
Oh, you was doing the 52 fake outs?
Yeah, I guess. So what we would do is our store, Chin, right? Crafty man, this man.
It was actually
T put him on like, yo, look, because T...
Oh, Chin was in cahoots?
Yeah. All day.
Oh, shit.
So T is also a hustler, and he's also very cheap, to put it bluntly. So he was on some, yo... These flight phone posits don't have air bubbles. But like, these Air Maxes are fucked up, and pop the air bubble, send them back to Nike, and be like defective, and Nike would send you a new pair. That was like an old policy they had. So he tells Chin, yo, if we do this with the kicks that we have in the store that's not selling, they'll give us
credit.
So we were sending like Vince Carter shocks that were like 150 plus tax, came up to like 172 or something like that. But nobody was buying the Vince Carter shocks. So we would get all his Nike credit, but we were going to Nike Town. So Chin would have the employees go with like 6 pairs of Vince Carter shocks at 150 a pop plus tax, go to Nike Town, get the credit. So now we have 172 times 6 per person in credit. Hold that credit down until the Jordans come out, make another trip to Nike Town, and buy all the Jordans that are now worth even more than the retail price. That's, you know, crazy. What I'm saying? So the J's would be like, you know, the same price as the Vince Carters, but we're selling them 2 weeks early for $250. Yeah. So after a while, Nike Town got hit because we were just coming mad back. I'm bringing size 13.
I was about to say, what kind of fucking lapse?
It was going on for like
if I seen you come through with like with 4 pairs, I'd be like, nah.
They didn't care.
And it was they didn't even have like policy in place on how to handle this. It's just like, yo, you returned it, let me get your ID and that's it. But then after a while they were like, yo, they got to a point where they told us, we have more size 9s in this shoe than we received in our shipment. So that's how much y'all have brought back, that we actually have more than we even like got in the first place.
So was y'all was fucking the shoes up though? Like,
No.
We were just bringing them brand new. Like, yo, these don't fit, or it's for my basketball team.
They didn't
like,
ask for reasons. There's no questions they asked. It's a service. It's good service. Good customer service.
But took advantage.
Man, that sounds like this hustle that I used to do that I'm actually on probation for right now. But at least I was giving them nothing. I was just getting mad shit and giving them nothing, and just like, that's why like I owe a lot of money right now. Shout out to the fucking prosecutors and everybody. But like, I was like, imagine you doing that, but like not giving them your Nike ID. Like, yo, this is all you need right here, because we under the coverage of the insurance and all of that. And they're like, what?
But you know where it really went wrong? It wasn't you. It was somebody we had in our group. this dude decided to actually steal something inside Nike and try to return it. So he took a jersey off the rack. Yeah. Cameras everywhere. Yeah. He can go to the return department like, yeah, I don't like this. It don't fit.
Oh, man.
And they were like...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Camera says you took it.
Damn, son.
That kind
of. That's because that shit happened to me too. Not that, but like I was a
that's
dumb.
Called stealing.
Yeah, I was a dumb dude. So I used to have the plug at this bank, right? With the shorty, the teller. Like me and her was cool.
Yeah, that's how it started.
Like real cool, right? But like, so I was coming, I was like. Doing what I was doing, and I was laundering the money, like, okay. Man, and I would go in there.
You're one
like,
of those dudes, like, yo, let me get your information. I'm gonna put $2,500 in your account.
Nah. Like, I was coming with straight cash for, like, in my account, like, not even. Okay. And but she was like, you know, if you're coming in with something like $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, that shit's supposed to take like a week, at least five business days to clear. Like,
right.
Yeah, she would clear that shit for me like the next day, son. Like every time, like I could come in there with like $20,000, like. Three times a week, and then she would fucking clear the next day. So one day I go, I deposit a check, and then I go to a spot because I was like, I wanted this Porsche, and I went with the
must be
real
nice.
Casual.
So, but then I went to a bank that wasn't the bank that she worked at, like on some dumb shit. Like, yo, you already in the loop. Why would you go outside or do some crazy shit within the same bank, but they don't know about it?
Yeah.
So I went to go do the I went to go get a cashier's check from a different bank. And now they looking at it like, yo, how the fuck you deposit this shit yesterday? And this shit is clear. And then they were like, nah, we're not going to be able to do it. And then shorty got fired.
And it was all downhill
shit,
from
my
there?
My account was on crazy frozen for a minute. But I unfroze my shit. Yeah. But like, that shit was, because I had mad bread in there that they froze. And I was like, yo, but she
you
got
unfroze
fired.
Unfroze it? It's like, they froze it. I unfroze
it. We thawed it out. We got to thaw it out. But nah, so that's crazy though. Like fucking.
So we've been hustling for since we've been teenagers.
Very small scale compared to your story. Yeah, you
no,
Porsche.
But it's still the same.
I want a Porsche.
No, but it's still cash. The same. It's still the same. Same.
Different levels.
Same
yeah.
energy. Because it was like, if you was doing that, if a nigga came through, because it's not like I created the hustle. Like, your man came in with the hustle. Somebody came to me with the hustle and was like, yo, get down with this. I'm like, oh, word. Mm. But I was dumb. So I'm like, I was dumb, bro. Like, I was mad dumb. Like, I think back on the way I was. And I remember one time I got in trouble and I got arrested. Like the first time I got like a felony. And the spot where I was living at, the doorman was like this young dude, younger than me. And I was young. I was like 21, 22. And I used to treat this nigga like shit, son. Like on some real, I was like sunning this nigga. Like I would come in and just like mad fucking bags of shopping and just splendor bitches all day and treat him like a son doula instead of being like, yo, my man was good, whoop, whoop, whoop. Like, take, you know, hitting him with a couple dollars, treating him like a human being. I wasn't treating him like a human being. I was treating him like a son, like not even a son, like a fucking. And then so one time I got jammed up and then the cops went to my crib, to the apartment building that I lived in. Yo, you don't think this nigga gave me up so fast, yo? This nigga gave them the keys to the crib and was like, yo, and then they went in my crib, all kind of shit. They got a warrant, but like, they wouldn't have got in if son didn't give them the keys.
He was happy.
So I was like, damn, yo, I just think I should have, like, in hindsight.
Yeah, be nicer.
I was stupid, son. So, but how, all right, so how did you guys get to America Hates Us? Like, what was the... Were you already into, were you already doing into fashion and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I, for Brooklyn Stick Up, like, you know, I manage it or whatever, and I would also...
Explain Brooklyn Stick Up to us, please.
It is an independent, like, record label, essentially, and collective, mm-hmm. and we have, like, a marquee artist, his name is Dance, and we have, like, a thriving merch, you know, element to it. That's how we were, like, managed to be... to sustain ourselves, like pay for everything that you would need for mm-hmm. a label, like music videos, studio time, photo shoots.
Through the merch,
right. So that was like my department, you know what I'm saying? Like I would dabble in all the departments, but like some of this, like the rapping part, I don't do that, the production part. So merch was like my creative thing right. that I had oversight of. So I was doing that, you know what I'm saying? And we were getting looks and, but rewind a little bit, T, years ago, before I was into this, he wanted to do a t-shirt line called Classy Dude.
Oh, gosh.
Right? So
I'm a classic dude.
Exactly. This was like when Jay was like, I wear suits.
Jay button-ups.
Yeah, button-ups. Yeah, he's like, yo, we do a t-shirt line called Classy Dude. And you know what I'm saying? And
like
I was
it's
like...
It's going to look like a button-up, but it's going to be a t-shirt. Cufflinks on the short sleeve. It's going to be lit.
So I know that was like always in the back of his mind, you know what I'm saying? It's something that he wanted to do.
Right.
But then fast forward, I found myself.
So you never did it though?
Never went off the ground.
Good.
No L's though. No L's in my department.
Yeah. It was just like an idea that just stayed there. Mm. And there was like, I think there was even some like drafts of like logos, but nothing happened with it. So then fast forward, I was, you know, living this rapper adjacent life, right. you know what I'm saying? And handling merch and, you know, just moving around and meeting people or whatever. And we were talking, I think it was right around the Trump campaign before he won. Because, mm-hmm. you know, he was running with the Make America Great Again hat.
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, we should do a hat that says Make America Hate Again. Mm. And he's like, yo, word, let's do it. Like, if you make it, I'll pay for it. And I was like, all right, cool. So that was like the first.
But you had already been doing the Brooklyn Stick Up.
Yeah.
So real quick, to rewind to that. So... Were you like the creative mind behind it? Like, were you coming up with the designs?
With the designs, yeah.
And that's like with the New York robbery joints.
Make New York grimy again.
The ski mask. I mean,
we're a collective, so right. there's like this how like me. Now there's two of us. Mm-hmm. There's three other people involved in that. So even if I come up with something, it is like a collective right. decision for the most part. But most of the designs, yeah, things are like Make New York Grimy Again, Flatbush 42, the ski mask logo. A lot of the shit that we put out, or maybe not even the logo, but like we put out soap, we put out bars of soap that have like a ski mask in them. So
you
it's
don't
like,
got soap, son. Dove, holler at us.
Maybe not Dove.
Maybe
they got their issues.
Irish Spring.
There you go. I'm cool with them.
Lever 2000. We gonna bring you out the cemetery, nigga. You remember when Lever first came out? Niggas was like, yo, what's this? I ain't never smelled like this before. You smelling different. All right. Yeah. So y'all got the soap. So what even? But like what? Did you know, like, yo, we're going to get it through the merch way to fund everything else? Because that's like, that's a leap. That's an investment. You don't know if you're going to make that money back.
Yeah, nah, the quick story, like the abridged version to how that came about was we just made promo. We made pro 12 promo sweaters because we had Dance had a mixtape coming out called Brooklyn Stick Up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One of our partners, like, he got arrested. And in the newspaper, it said, the article said, Brooklyn Stick Up Punks Boxed In because... The police came while he was still on the spot and they surrounded him.
Mm.
So they had a picture of him being like carried out and that was the headline. So he cut out the article, put it on his wall. But when he cut it out, he left out Punks Boxed In and it just had a picture of our boy and it said Brooklyn Stick Up.
Because essentially he's not a punk. He was just, you know.
Yeah.
you blocked him by the cops. You like, what are you going to be, a fucking hero?
Yeah.
You're not a punk. You just can't really flex after that.
Right. So then I was like, yo, let's name it Brooklyn Stick Up. Like, that's perfect. You know what I'm saying? That thing. That was just coincidence.
That was the mixtape.
Okay. So then it was like, yo, let's print out promo gear.
Mm.
Not thinking that this is a potential revenue stream. We were just like, let's promote the tape. So we made the 12 sweaters just to, like, give out to, you know, the immediate crew. But, of course, we were like, yo, y'all got that in red? And it's like, no, it's just black. Like, that's it. Damn, if y'all got it in red.
Like, and it was like, ding!
Right, so it took a few, and then we did like another batch, like white, because people were like, oh, I want a t-shirt, I don't want a hoodie. And then after a while, people, you know, it was so, not even on purpose, but it was made so limited because of money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it created a demand, like locally. Yeah. Like, yo, I just seen such and such, I need one. So then we were like, all right, let's do, you know, a bigger batch. So that is what, you know, that's how it started. And then eventually we got to, like, you know, we got hat manufacturing in China. And, you know, we do hoodies, enamel pins, like everything. But it started not even thinking, like, we weren't conscious of that. It wasn't a conscious decision. It was just like an organic thing. So now I've been doing that for, let's say, you know, 6 years. Mm-hmm. And then me and T are on the phone, and he's, and I'm like, yo, it would be dope if we didn't make America hate again.
Where are you at this time, T? Are you
in school?
He's a famous lawyer.
No. I was working for a judge in, what is it, Passaic, New Jersey?
Okay.
Criminal court judge.
Okay.
So I was winding down. I had just taken the bar for the second time. And I was winding down, figuring out what I wanted to do.
First, you failed it the first
time? I failed New York, New Jersey the first time, but I redeemed myself. I took New Jersey the second time I passed. And I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I was thinking about doing the prosecutor route. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, I don't want to be in New Jersey no more. So I said, boom, I'm creative. I have thoughts. I got ideas. This dude's very creative. He has thoughts. He has ideas. He came and pitched this to me. I ran it by my judge. I was like, my judge is super... Shout out to Malcolm X. He died today. My judge had to remind. He texted me this morning to say, "Yo, we lost a good one."
He didn't die today.
He didn't die on today. This on this day. I thought everybody knew that. I thought that was obvious. But I ran across him, and he was like, "This is dope." He liked the idea, the concept we have, and him and I just started coming up with more and more ideas.
Seems like a cool ass judge, man.
You should meet. He met my judge.
He sounded like the judge that let me go. Shout out to fucking Judge Carter.
Shout out Judge Jacobson. And him and I just coming up with more and more ideas, and we got more and more positive feedback.
Okay. What made you even go? Because that was the other thing I was going to ask. Like, how did you, because if you guys don't know, check it out. Make sure you check it out. AmericaHatesUs.us.
AmericaHatesUs.
Yeah. I forgot because you told me that. I was on stage and I asked you, and I was like, get the fuck out of here. I went, he was like, yo, it's AmericaHatesUs. US. I was like, oh shit, yo, what the fuck? I think it's a fucking savant, son. Yeah. Savant. But like, so how did you get to that? Like, how did you, because it's conscious. So I didn't really know. I used to see you, and I think you brought me a shirt one time.
Yeah.
RIP Broken Comedy to Broken Comedy.
RIP Broken Comedy.
And I was like, oh shit, this shit, because I seen you rock.
Shout out to Becky.
You was rocking a shirt one day, and I was on stage, and I was like, yo, what's that say, or whatever. And you told me, and then you bought me the shirt like the next week or something.
Yeah, you all showed us love.
And I was like, oh, this shit's official. But then I was like, oh, this shit is conscious. I didn't, you know, I ain't got all of the scruples. I just rock shit. Like, I rock a Coca-Cola shirt. I don't know.
So that was actually part of, so when we thought of it, I was like, He's super well, like, knowledgeable in the political space, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not so much, you know what I'm saying? I have more of like a music industry background,
right?
But I also have a good eye for like design, and I'm knowledgeable on like production and branding and aesthetic. So I was like, yo, you know, we just had that one hat, and then eventually it was like, yo, we should do something else. So we came up with some other ideas.
So you started with the America Hates Us.
No, we started with the Make America Hate Again.
Right.
And then I think after that,
with the hat though.
The hat. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you real quick. Was it like something? Was there anything behind that? As far as, let's start with something that's one size fits all, or was it like just natural? Because like for me, I feel like a lot of times if I'm trying to come up with something, I feel like if I'm doing something like that, like, I guess that's not really promo at that point. That's not promo merch. But I try to do something that's like one size fits all. Cause
like the candles.
Like, yeah, absolutely. Right. So it's not like something that like I have to worry about a small, large, extra large. Yeah.
Right.
One size fits all.
What's for that idea specifically, I don't think it was just really just a direct play on the Trump hat. So it was like, Trump got a hat, we got a hat. You know, in general, that is, you know, something that we're cognizant of for like inventory and...
Right.
You know, being able to give shit out freely and not worry about like, oh, we only got two smalls left. So hats are definitely, if you follow my page on Instagram, I drop a lot of
gems.
Hold on,
we're going to get into that. Relax. Come on.
America hates us time.
I wrote some shit down. I got a couple notes. I'm not the most professional. I got a couple.
So for the hat shit, so we were like, yo, I was like, there's not a lot of political brands. Like I did like brief research, right? So like a lot of the political, you know, not even, I don't want to call it streetwear, but like garments that have political statements on them, they all look like they are made for a rally.
Yeah.
It'll be like Black Lives Matter, but in a big block.
Like,
you're not wearing that anywhere.
This shit is conscious, Jose. It's conscious, but it's fly. You see the fucking I forgot what color green is. Is that Kelly?
Hunter.
No, that's Kelly Green.
That's
Kelly
the Green. Kelly. You see yeah. the Kelly? I don't know everything. You see the Kelly? They got fly shit. So it's like, that's the other thing. I'll be like, even that hat right there. Like, I'll rock it. And people will be like, yo, what's that? That shit is hot. But it's like, it's not some, like you it's said, subtle. It doesn't just say Black Lives Matter in the Run DMC fucking front. Right, right. You know what I mean? Right,
right, exactly. Or it'll be like, you know, they got the Black Lives Matter ones, or it might be like, and no disrespect to any of those campaigns or those shirts, but just as far as like your ability to take it from a rally and go to brunch, they're not really that versatile. So it might have like the, you know, the Eric Garner shirts, rest in peace, hashtag I can't breathe. Like, that's dope if you're going to the Eric Garner rally, you're going to do laundry maybe, but we wanted to have something that had more like utility, that you could take your beliefs with you
to the club, to a brunch
you know, and be fly, but still like it could be kind of nuanced and really spark a conversation. So like a great example of that, we did this shirt. So everyone knows about the conflict with Israel and Palestine, right? Yeah. I don't want to get too deep into what it is, but
they be beefing.
There's an issue there, you know what I'm saying? And that's why for a lot of those issues, honestly, I'd be like, yo, talk to him. That's his area of expertise. Authority. I'm a design guy, you know what I'm saying? But so we did a shirt that says, it says Free Palestine, but in Hebrew.
Okay.
So only if you read Hebrew, you can read it, but it's something that speaks to what the opposing view, you know what I'm saying?
And even if you don't read Hebrew, but you know what it means, now you could break it down to the other people like, yo, check this out, because you know I really don't think they should be beefing at all. So this is what this means.
That's
I swear to God, real quick, when you give me shit, like, I know what it kind of means, but I'll totally throw my old spin on it. I'll be like, you didn't tell me what the hate of it, like the hat. It's like basically America, but like it's the United States. It's hate.
It's the silhouette of the United States, but it spells out the word hate inside of it.
So I'll be like, yo, you see what it is that there's so much hate from within.
I mean, yeah.
Our own country.
That's a great interpretation. I think Lena Waithe made a good quote the other day. She says she puts her art out there and allows the people to interpret it the way they want to interpret it. Yes, everything we put on our website, we have our own definition of meaning, what it represents. Mm-hmm. And you could take that and understand what it means, or you could take it and say, well, this is my piece, this is my garment, now I interpret it to be this way.
Right.
So there's no limits, but it's put out there in the world, up for interpretation.
And we want to like spark that conversation, you know what I'm saying? If you see a Palestinian woman wearing a shirt that's written in Hebrew, automatically it's going to be like, what is that? Like, what does your shirt say? You're wearing a shirt that's written in Hebrew, and then it's like, oh, it actually says Free Palestine. And we want to encourage those types of like...
But where does that come, like, so like, where does that come from as far as like, what makes you... Because that was one of the questions I wanted to ask, like, even with the Believe Women shirts, which are dope.
Thank you.
Was it a shorty?
Nah, it was actually a Professor Ball in First Amendment Law. The class I took, it. I learned the power of symbolic speech. We got First Amendment rights to express ourselves. We could use it vocally. We could also put it on print. And having the power to have your message on clothing is strong to me because, like him and I say, we try to create things subtle. Not in your face. Right. So me wearing my Believe Women shirt is very subtle. It allows you to ask me about it. Allows you to share an experience with me. It just opens a discussion. I never wanted to be someone on the train saying, oh, I think Trump is this, Trump is that. Because that's you trying to get to work. You trying to get to wherever you need to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But if I got something on clothing, now it permits you to come up to me. Mm. And that happens to me. Wearing this shirt, I say regularly, someone comes up to me, ask me what it means, or they'll within 5 minutes share an experience of being assaulted.
Mm.
So to me, it's a good conversation starter. I think
you ever have a dude like hate on you, like you see that, be like, these bitches ain't trustworthy.
Yeah, yeah. I've had dudes tell me like, Bill Cosby can't be guilty of all that.
And
it's left and right, and you know, those sometimes you could temperament those conversations, and sometimes they're just idiots and you can't be involved with. But I'm not trying to see idiots. I'm trying to see people that. Or thinking.
Right. I ain't gonna front. I was gonna be like, I was gonna, I totally forgot what I was gonna ask you right now, but it was along the lines of something.
It'll come back.
Yeah,
did you catch yourself? Were you gonna say something
questionable? No.
You'd be like, yo, because I honestly don't think that all these hoes be telling the truth.
No, anyway. No. Oh, that's what I was gonna say. Because for me, it was a shorty, right? So like, I'm like I said, like I'm a domesticated hood nigga. Like I've changed a lot, son. Like Khaled's album, I changed a lot. Like really changed. And like I'll be thinking, cause I'm always in my mind thinking these thoughts and shit. And like I try to reflect as much as I can on my life. But so I was dating a shorty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I kind of, you know what it was too? Like when I went down south, and I remember I would go out to the club sometimes. And like, I'm from New York, I'm from the Bronx. And like, I would see like the way shorties would get grabbed up in the club. And I'd be like, damn, we don't really rock like that in New York. Like, seriously, like you holler at a shorty, but you're not going to grab her hand, her arm, her ass, and nothing like that. Like, so what, even for me, when I seen that, I was like, yo, these niggas is fucking savage. These niggas so are savage. So it was like, that, I was already like, all right, that's kind of weird. I was still catcalling at the time, though. You're not still, yo, my, yo. But, and then I would like, I used to cat conversate. Like, I was, it'd be me and my mans. And, like, so me and you were together, and the shorty would walk by. Like, I wouldn't actually cat call. I would have a conversation about her to you loud enough for her to hear.
Like, oh my gosh, she's beautiful.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Not that, like, a little more X rated, but you know what I mean.
X rated.
And it would be like, yo, they'd be like, what? Like, if, you know what I'm saying? They'd little smile. But then, like, as I got even older, and I'm like, yo, this shit is kind of wild. And then I think one of the illest shit was like, I was dating a shorty at the time. And she was very, I don't want to say feminist, but probably like a feminist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know.
Shout out to feminists.
Shout out to the feminist movements, man. All of y'all out
hood
there.
Feminists.
Hood feminist movement. Mm-hmm. Shout out to all my hood feminists out there. You know what I'm saying? Hold it, keeping these streets safe, yo. You know what I'm saying? We the guardian angels of the shorties out there right now in the streets, man. Even though it's just me right now, but you know, we still got.
We're down with it.
Cool. But like, yeah, so I was like, yo, son, I remember being with Shorty and she would come home like, yo, this motherfucker said this, that, and this. And I was like, and that's made me start thinking like, damn, yo, like, is that shit called for, dude? Like, it's not really, it's not. Because then I would be like, yo, what if it was me? And I wouldn't say a Shorty, but what if a dude was hollering at me?
Yeah.
That's like happened
wild
to me before.
Reckless. I mean, it's
happened to me at Cream Barrel.
It happened to me at dance party.
Oh.
This nigga talked to me wild reckless. I forgot his name, man. Shout out to him for being a reckless dude.
Oh, yeah, Billy told me, actually.
Son, I'm outside. So, you know, he's, shout out to Kelly. She's over there. He's there. You know, and like, you know, gay dudes could kind of like do things that straight dudes can't do. So like, son walks up to Kelly and just motorboats her in the middle of the party like, yo, what's up, bitch? I'm like looking at him kind of envious like, damn, son, only thing is like, so I'm like, whatever. And then I go outside to smoke a cigarette now. Son comes outside and he's like, yo, he goes, did we just fuck in the bathroom? I was like, what? He's like, nah, because I was like, damn, son, you a wild savage, man. Chill, B. I'm like, nah, man. Nah. I had to give him
He was throwing you the alley. Like, yeah. Yo, it's yours to do with this, what you please.
I had to give him the, nah, man.
But that's what his approach. He was like, yo, look, I'm going to just shoot my shot.
I used to do that with cocaine back in the days. I used to drop a cocaine on the floor, like a little baggie. And I told Shorty, yo, is that yours or mine? I don't remember. Was that yours? And then, you know, they're going to pick it up. They're going to be like, I mean, it could be ours. I mean, it wasn't mine, but I fucks with it. And you're like, all right, we good. So that's what he tried to basically do.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, so I was like, yo,
is there a name for that move?
I don't think so. I mean, it probably is, though.
Yeah.
The coke-a-dope.
The coke-a-doke.
The
coke-a-doke.
But nah, so like, so the Believe Women movement. And then I started seeing, like, it really made me think, like, yo, I got fucking sisters, I got nieces, I got, you know, female friends or what, women that are friends.
Yeah. You dropped the female, right?
I've been trying to.
It's hard, but you gotta drop the female.
Female. But some
unless you say male with the female.
Yes. But so it made me more conscious of it. And I was just like, damn, if there was just a way, which is like, if there's just kind of like some sort of a way to make at least my bros conscious of it. I can't speak for everybody, every dude out there, but I know with my bros, I could, because I know some wild barbarian dudes. I'm pretty sure y'all do too. Where it's like, yo, son, you can't be doing that. It's like, dudes, I can't even call. I got to block them from my phone. Like, niggas go out, you like, Yo, what did you just tell Shorty? Yo, why she slapped you for? Like, I got those are like dudes that I used to hang out with in my previous life, but now I'm like chilling with dudes that make believe women hoodies. And you know what I'm saying? We got conscious messages, man. Okay. I didn't even know you was a lawyer, neither. That shit didn't even roll
it. I kind of keep it on the low because I'm here to go to a comedy club, have a good time.
I feel you, but your boy might mix it up and I might need some representation. And you know it's the worst when somebody say they a lawyer and they like, yo, I'm an entertainment lawyer. You like, nigga, but I do criminal shit, son. How you gonna defend me if you and I need a criminal lawyer?
See? People don't understand. I mean, I know for him, I'm not speaking from experience, but like, people think he's a lawyer. They just think that's like, you know, the law. So he'll be like, yeah, I do human trafficking law. Worry, yo, because my landlord, he changed the locks on me. And it's like, fam, I can't help you. And he's like venting to me. I was about to go into the story about the chick. But.
Yo, shout out to Acast Studios before we go any further. They always hook us up. We got the Health Aid kombucha that they're drinking right now. They got the pomegranate probiotics. So you know they biotics is professionals. Mm-hmm. And we just out here, man, living the... How does that shit make you feel? Because I never had kombucha, even though it's here every week. Last week they had some shit called Soylent. You ever heard of that?
No.
Son, that's the next, like, it's the next level above kombucha, son.
I was like, well, you're really getting money?
Son, it's straight up, you're so busy that you're busy, but you're so busy, so busy, mm-hmm. that he don't even got time to eat, son. He just drinks Soylent, and it's like a whole meal.
It's like Nutriment, but for rich people.
For rich people. None of that funny diabetes shit.
You know what I'm saying? Get Nutriment, like, yo, let me get the cheese doodles, sunflower seasoning.
Yeah, you can get a whole, let me get half a chicken pork fried rice and the Nutriment. You're like, nah, nigga, that was just
and the supplement. Diabetes dipping sauce.
It's a supplement, but like, the Soylent is like 20 grams of protein. Imagine Rocky drinking all of them raw eggs. All he would have had to do is drink Soylent. Half a Soylent. He would have been a dozen eggs. But anyway, so how does it make you feel, man?
The kombucha is great. My first experience with kombucha was warm. It was warm. I bought it at a bodega and I went back like, yo, this is old. Because it's, you know, it's fermented tea if you never had it. So it has like a kind of like rancid
vinegary.
Yeah, like smell. So I smelled it. I was like, yo, this is bad. He's like, nah, it comes like that. I'm like, yo, fam, the smell is. It does not come like this. And he was like, nah, like, that's it. So I Googled it. And I was like, oh, all right, my bad. It tastes trash, though.
Damn,
and
son.
I threw it out. And then I tried it again later. And it's official.
I'm going to get to that. I just started doing seltzer water. I can't just jump from Fanta to seltzer to kombucha. I need some time. Like, I can't, yeah, La Croix. I'm good on the La Croix. La Croix, we good with the La Croix. So I ain't going to jump straight in to kombucha. I feel like I should at least stretch or something. I don't even do like push-ups or something. All right. Oh, I didn't even peep the anchor on the bottom, though. Like, yo, this shit is
cool. I just peeped that today, too. He was like, sure.
Guys, I hope you enjoyed part one of two with America Hates Us and Busy. Make sure to check back in on Wednesday for part two of two.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.